Today, Governor David Patterson ended weeks of uncertainty and speculation and selected Kirsten Gillibrand, a little-known congresswoman from the Hudson Valley in upstate New York, to fill the U.S. Senate seat most recently held by Hillary Clinton, who's now Secretary of State. Patterson's choice has drawn mixed reviews from around the state, with liberal Democrats expressing alarm at Gillibrand's conservative stances on some issues like gun control. She tried to explain her support of guns today in a news conference.
I'm going to be an advocate for hunters' rights, but there is so much area where there's common ground where I can work together with anti-gun, really solving the problem of gun violence.
So Kirsten Gillibrand trying to tamp down concerns among liberal members of her Democratic Party that she is too pro-gun. Joining me to talk about New York's new senator is WNYC's Elaine Rivera. So Elaine, what's the fallout?
Well, the fallout is there's very mixed reviews about her. Liberal Democrats, as you mentioned, are alarmed. In fact, a headline put it today, they're howling, particularly about her past stances on gay marriage, which she happened to she's changed her mind overnight. And, of course, the gun control issue. And although she did extend an olive branch to Carolyn McCarthy, who's the congresswoman whose husband was killed in the Long Island Massacre, who's one of the staunchest pro-gun control people in Congress. But I just spoke with a spokesperson for Carolyn McCarthy, who says that they're not buying it, even though Gillibrand said she's willing to work with Carolyn McCarthy. And they said her voting record speaks for itself, which has gotten 100% approval rating from the NRA.
So going too far out on a limb to say that the Democratic Party in New York State is now really divided?
Well,
the Democratic Party saying, the Democrats saying to themselves, we just gained control of the Senate after decades being left out. We have the Senate, we have the Assembly, we have the governor's office. This is a time for unity. And then Governor Patterson does this.
Well, the other side of that argument is that this is an attempt for unification, especially between upstate and downstate, because the state has always been seen as New York City and the rest of the state. And I think this is Governor Patterson's attempt to bring things together. And also, she is a new kind of politician. And this is a Barack Obama type politician who, you know, they kind of cherry pick the issues and they are not going to follow traditional party lines.
So what does this do for Governor Patterson? He has said that he was not going to make his choice based on gender, although he strongly hinted he would like to see another woman replace Hillary Clinton. He has said it wasn't based on geographic reasons, no upstate downstate choice. He also threw in race and religion. He wasn't considering that. Well, what did he consider?
Well, I think he did consider it. I think it was a very expedient choice for him. I think he knew that there was tremendous pressure for him to fill it with a woman or a Hispanic, two very underrepresented groups in the state legislative body. He's upstate, again, trying to bridge that divide, that longstanding divide. And she's considered a rising star in the Democratic Party. She is considered this new, you know, this upcoming new generation of politician.
I want to switch gears a little bit, keep you here, Elaine. I have Rex Smith joining me. He's a reporter with the Albany Times-Union on our other big story coming from Albany. The 8-count federal indictment on corruption charges against former Senate Majority Leader and former Republican State Senator Joseph Bruno. Rex Smith, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks very much. It's a remarkable news day in Albany when your congresswoman being appointed to the U.S. Senate is our second biggest story.
Right. So tell me about this 8-count indictment. I remember a little more than a year ago, then State Senator Bruno announcing to the press that he was the subject of an FBI probe. This is the fruit of those investigators' labors?
Actually, it's been longer than that. This has been a 3-year federal investigation. Some of it, perhaps, I think our reporting suggests that it began in a probe of the senator's use of aircraft for free from a lobbyist. and certainly expanded into other matters that some of the reporters for the Times Union who have done such wonderful work. I should correct the record, by the way. I'm the editor of the Times Union. I've not done any of this reporting myself. But our reporters have done some wonderful work to uncover some of this that, in fact, has is now represented in the indictment that's been laid out today. And the indictment is, it suggests that Senator Bruno extracted more than $3 million in private consulting fees from clients who were doing business with the state, that he made the money and in exchange then produced state business for these clients.
Bruno held a news conference this afternoon where he accused his adversaries of trying to bring him down. Let's listen.
For over 3 years, I've been the target of a Get Joe Bruno campaign, whether by the former Governor Spitzer or a politicized U.S. attorney.
Rex Smith, could you outline for me how exactly, what exactly Bruno is accused of doing? How did this scheme, this alleged scheme, work?
It works in this way. He would. It actually is a multi-count indictment that goes into different ways. Let's just say, for example, there is a Wright Investor Service, which is a Connecticut-based firm. Bruno would steer investments, pension funds from unions doing business with the state to Wright Investor Service in Milford, Connecticut, and to McGinn Smith & Company, an investment firm in Albany. Those union pension funds would invest through these investment firms. And then those investment firms paid Bruno. This is all alleged by the U.S. attorney. Wright Investor Service in Milford, Connecticut paid him nearly $1.4 million. McGinn and Smith in Albany paid Bruno more than $600,000,
This isn't considered bribery. He gets this job as a consultant, which he's allowed to do under New York's notoriously lax ethics rules. And then he allegedly reached out to unions, which he knew had a legislative agenda before him and for the and before the assembly as well, and urged them to use this investment company that he represented for their union pension fund services.
Yes, that is part of it. That's exactly right. In New York State, legislators are part-time. They're allowed to have other employment, although, in fact, Joe Bruno, as Senate Majority Leader, had a more than full-time job doing that. But and a very limited disclosure is required in New York State. For years, we have known about Wright Investor Service and other firms that sort of operate under their umbrella, but we couldn't find anything out from official documents about what actually Joe Bruno was doing for them, and he simply would shake off the questions and say, that's my private business, you don't have any right to know about it. So armed with a subpoena, the federal officials have been able to track down some of this. Now, there's another element to this which is different, and that is a businessman named Jared Abruzzese in Albany who actually got direct grants from the state government for some of his private businesses under the member item legislation. That is funds that individual members control, and as the leader of the Senate, Joe Bruno had more of that money at his disposal than anybody else. The allegation is that Abruzzese then channeled money back to Bruno after he got it from the state. In fact, in one case, allegedly, Abruzzese gave Bruno $80,000 for a horse. And the horse, the feds say the horse was nearly worthless. I don't know what kind of a horse it was, but it certainly wasn't worth that, apparently.
Rex Smith, editor of the Albany Times-Union, thanks so much for joining us and unpacking this very complicated 8-count indictment, federal indictment on corruption charges against Joseph Bruno. Thanks for joining me. I'm sure more will be revealed as the days proceed.
Very good. Thank you.
And WNYC's Elaine Rivera, thank you for joining me, talking to me about Governor Patterson's choice of Kirsten Gillibrand to be New York's next junior senator.